Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you. And, well, we've got Apple's earnings in the book, and we've got, you know, another record quarter. And who knows? Only the shadow knows what's going to happen from here. But, you know, I tell you, it just, I find things interesting. And I talked a little bit about this yesterday. And, you know, when is enough? When do we stop accepting mediocrity? You know, the Badger and I talked about a couple of things, and he's coming back again today. But when is mediocrity not good enough for us? Something that bothers me. You know, as you look and you know, the United States, I love this country, obviously. In fact, I want to run for president. In fact, in Vegas last week, somebody had brought some buttons they made for me. Bubba for president, and I want to run. I'd love to run. But when has it become acceptable to not be the best? I mean, does anybody out there want to not be the best? Do you go up, do you get up every morning and say, I want to finish in second place today? I don't want to do good. I don't want to make money. Whatever it is you're doing. Is there anybody want? And I have that feeling now with our current leadership that second place is good enough for them. And to me, I find that a problem. You know, I find, you know, this country, in my mind, was built on blood, guts, hard work, and, you know, I think that we no longer are using the hard work and the blood and guts. I think we've gotten away from who we truly are because of leadership. And it doesn't just have to be this guy. Again, I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm just saying, okay, this is my opinion. My opinion is that we are not performing anywhere near capacity. And from my views, to me, why do we want to settle for nothing but the best? That's, you know, I don't like manipulation. I don't like systems that are manipulated, like our currency is being right now, like the world currencies are being right now. But all that aside, even before all this happened, when did we become someone who said, we don't want to be the best anymore? You know, and that to me is sad. I want to be, you know, the number one nation. And we've got the brains, we've got the brawn, we've got everything in the United States of America to continue to be the best at everything. Okay? You know, it's and to me, it just shows that you're starting to settle. You know, I mean, you know, there's a lot of people in this country that are unemployed right now. And there's a lot of companies in this country that have a lot of dough. Now, you know, if we were really trying to move to the next level, you know, maybe, just maybe, we would try to bring some of that manufacturing back. Maybe, just maybe, some of the workers that aren't working, you know, might work for a little bit less than they were working for before to get a job. Because there is no more pride than having a job and bringing home a paycheck. Okay. So maybe, just maybe, you know, we've got a lot of areas out here that we used to do a lot of manufacturing that we don't do anymore. So maybe we could spark that interest. But of course, we don't have the leadership from the top down. We're too concerned with subsidies and entitlements and building a party of the people that want to suck on the company tit. And I don't get it. When you look at the overall scope of what we're seeing, to me, that's sad. To me, it becomes a position that settling. And I don't want to settle. You know, I don't want to be in the, I want to be in the position of power. I don't want anybody to overtake. And I'm not worried about it. I'm not saying that now. But again, I don't want people even to get close. You know, it's like a great horse. Okay. You get a 10-length lead. You want to keep that 10-length lead. you know, you get a 10-0 lead in a game, you want to stay up a 10-0. You want to add. You know, when I coached, it was always add on. You know, every inning, hold and add on. And that's where I think we've kind of dropped the ball a little bit, is we're not concerned about building onto our lead and making ourselves better. And that becomes, to me, a problem. Again, I look at the government payroll. I look at the way government operates. I look at what we do, and I go, really? In the meantime, the government's balance sheet is 48% student debt, and is that not an issue? Should there not be something? You want to subsidize something. How about subsidizing students? How about subsidizing the future of your country instead of pricing them out of the market? Okay? I mean, have you seen the prices of some of going to colleges today? I mean, it's sickening, the amount of dollars. And unfortunately, well, fortunately, I have two. And unfortunately, they're both in college at the same time, and they're both in college now. But I don't know how anybody does it. I got to tell you. I don't know how you could save enough to get there. I mean, it's just amazing. But now you want to talk about doing something. Why don't we do that? Why don't we put together some intern programs? You know, I mean, you know, and to me, I go, the solution seems so simple, yet we make it so complicated. And I don't know why it has to be so complicated, because it's a matter of money. And you know what's amazing? If you've spent a little money to do the right thing and not to pad the pockets of the rich, you might see a bigger return. You know, the rich get richer always, right? But wouldn't they be nicer getting richer with also building on to the economy and building on to the country? Doesn't that, because that probably makes too much sense, which is always a problem. Because obviously if it's too logical, our folks don't like it when it's that logical. They'd rather spend billions of dollars. I mean, you guys realize now what's going to start happening now as we have one after another announcing their candidacy. We realize the billions and billions of dollars that are now going to be spent and vanish into midair, okay, from ridiculous elections, okay, that, you know, why isn't there a spending limit? I don't know. I mean, certainly, you know, it to me, I find it amazing that we're going to go through this again. And of course, the amount of money that is just wasted, right? I mean, I say it's wasted because it's not who's the best. It's who can spend the most and get in those people's heads. Okay. And that, again, you know, like I said, the United States of America, the greatest place on earth. There's no place I'd rather be. All I want is I want it to be better. And I think that has become, as I opened up with, that has become one of the problems is we don't strive to be better. And I'm not talking about you and me. I'm talking about from the top down. We don't strive to be the best. We strive to make excuses and ignore the problems, as we have seen with our president and our Fed president and all down the line, that we like to avoid the problems and the solutions instead of taking them head on. And to me, that has become a much bigger problem. But as they say, it was a fish, it sinks from the head back. Okay, well, there you have it. We got one big fish in the White House right now. And again, it's not only his responsibility or his fault. However, it has to start somewhere. And someone has to put out the olive branch to make things better for everybody. And that, to me, I think would be a much wiser solution instead of doing what we're doing now. But anyways, you'll hear about things like that and the economy and everything else we're doing in the Bubba Report. Our second issue is coming out this week. And certainly would love to have you aboard. It's $99 a year. It can be bought at thebubbashow.org under the news report. So check it out. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm going to stop here for a break, and I'll be right back with the Badger. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with the Badger again today. And You know, Badger, we go back to North Korea once again, and it seems like problems never leave that area from forever, and then obviously most recent troubles. But you know, we had the movie The Interview where they threatened. We've had a lot of the other break-ins, the espionage through the website, through the internet. But much going on there, and why don't you take us through it?
Well, I think one of the things is last week, you know, China said that they're trading partners with North Korea, but you know, that's like sort of trading with a cobra. You better be alert, or else you can get bitten. Anyway, what they were saying is that, you know, the U.S. has figured that North Korea is going to get nuclear weapons. Now they've been trying to make them. They've been trying to create them for 25, 30 years. The thing is, even if you have a nuclear weapon, you have to have the ability to deliver it. Correct? You know, just having it there, it's not very threatening. If they can't get anything across the border into South Korea, they really can't. They can't detonate anything. But the Chinese warned that they believe that North Korea now has 20 nuclear weapons, and which is probably at least five times as much as U.S. officials believe, and that those 20 nuclear weapons can become 40 nuclear weapons in less than a year. Now, when you're dealing with a maniac like Kim Jong-un, somebody that when he was consolidating power, took his uncle and literally, instead, when he executed him, he did it with an anti-aircraft missile. He also executed his old girlfriend because she made some racy photos on the internet. So, I mean, you're dealing with a guy that is completely insane, in my opinion. I mean, I could be wrong because I'm not a psychiatrist. You know, in the past, when he had his rants and he would scream and yell that he was going to nuke America, and he was going to do all this crazy stuff, you know, what was he going to do? Was he going to drive his World War II submarines over off the East Coast or the West Coast of the United States and try to lob a missile from 7 miles away? Well, you know, it's not going to work. We know exactly what's going on. He has no capability in that area. His Air Force is nothing, so he's not going to be able to deliver it. So what he's looking for is a delivery system that will allow him to reach out. And according to the Chinese, and I think the Americans also agree, he's in the process of developing a new missile known as the KN-08. And that missile could have a range of up to 5,600 nautical miles. Now, you're talking about a game changer. That missile can reach all of Western Europe. That missile can reach the East Coast, the West Coast of the United States. And if you are going to start to worry about something like this, then you have to say, well, what treaties do we have? What happens, you know, what happens if China decides to take back, you know, Taiwan? You know, you got to look at that. What's going to happen? The Japanese and the Chinese are scurrying over the islands. And Japan, South Korea, or Korea, as they prefer to be recalled, and the U.S. have a mutual defense pact. Now, you know, an attack on one of these countries by a third party is viewed as an attack on all. And what they're saying is, particularly in that region, that there's no power, even China right now, strong enough to take on those three nations and be able to defeat them. What will happen is, you know, the aggressor is probably going to end badly. It may not end badly, but it could end badly. And this is something that we can no longer ignore. When you have a maniac like this and you have someone that has the capability to deliver their threats, I think that you gotta take them a little more serious than we have. So I think it's time that we've got to start to consider how we're going to deal with this threat, particularly if they're able to get this missile up.
Well, I think I said this, and I was actually on air about the interview that was back around Christmas time, and I said they got to take them out. I mean, look. You know, one of the things I think that one of the problems that I think we have now as a society is we become far too soft is not the right word, but I think we need to become the aggressor. We're no longer dealing with, you know, little baby stuff here. I mean, you know, you're talking about nuclear weapons. You're talking about, is there any doubt in your mind that he'd push the button?
Oh, no, of course not. He said he'd push the button. Here's the thing, though. You know, South Korea, Seoul was only 60 miles, right? 60 miles away. So it's not exactly like they can't reach that. So far, he's had at least enough advice or whatever you want to call it, that if he were to do something like that, you know, he's going to bring down everything on his country. I mean, you know, if we take out the crackpot, if you take him out, then who replaces that crackpot? I guess what I'm saying is, who's the other side of the crackpot trade?
Well, I mean, you know, it's somebody, but that's where, I mean, somebody knows, right? I mean, somebody on our side knows as well. And I think this is where you need to start, you know, taking things out, in my opinion. Again, I'm much more aggressive than most, but, you know, we're not talking about, you know, a couple of bullet shots here and there. We're talking about, you know, a step up from the end of the world. I mean, and, you know, you get into these things with maniacs like this and you have no chance, because there is no logic or reasoning with a person like this. This is just, you know, this is, you know, like ISIS. I mean, you know, that's where I think we've let too many things kind of slide by without taking aggressive action. I mean, you know, we both didn't agree with that Bush went into Iran or Iraq when he did, because, you know, but the theory was right. I mean, that's what we need now. Now, we didn't need it then. We do need it now, though. Something of that nature. What do you think?
Well, I disagree with Bush because I felt that economically we'd never benefit by it. And it turned out, you know, I was correct. Also, I disagree with Bush because I didn't think we knew how to deal with the maniacs. It's turned out that, you know, I was correct. The problem is those societies, we don't understand them, but yet we want to go in and we want to change that society. And I think that's where we really run into the problem. Now, with a guy like Kim Jong-un, who is just, I mean, the guy is a maniac. He's threatening to do this and do that. What about if he decides that, you know, in order to raise a little revenue, he might let ISIS have one of these things? You know that that thing is going into Israel in a second. So you got to ask yourself something. You know, how did we get in a position? And this is very relevant to what's happening today. How did we get in the position where North Korea could build this? Well, you know, if you listen to the Republicans, and you can't always listen to them either, even though we're pretty conservative guys, they're talking about the treaty that Clinton administration negotiated 21 years ago with Kim Jong-un's father, Kim Jong-il, in which they did something very similar to what the Obama administration is now doing with Iran, in which they are taking a very weak position and they are allowing the other side of the trade. And we always talk about the other side of trade because in a market, there's always the other side. And this side, it's Iran, to really slow them down in the production, but not to erase it. So when Netanyahu says that, listen, guys, you're making a horrific deal here that can come back to bite the whole world, not just us, you better listen to us. And now you're looking at something that happened 21 years ago, Bubba, that was supposed to stop North Korea from creating nuclear weapons, right? UN inspectors came in, and have you ever seen the puppet movie Team America, which I just absolutely love? It's a satire on foreign policy, and, you know, they have a terrible character in there, Kim Jong-un, or Kim Jong-il. But it's really happening, you know? In that particular movie, which was a satire, the United Nations comes in and says, hey, we want to look for your bombs. And they said, or we're going to write you a nasty letter. He says, okay, let me show you. And of course, then he feeds the guy the sharks. But my point is are we not doing this right now? Is not Netanyahu, I know a lot of people don't like him. They think he's too aggressive. They think he's full of baloney, that he's not a good leader. But on the other hand, is he not telling us a very likely scenario that could happen here?
Absolutely. I mean, again, a lot of people don't like him, and that's fine. I mean, that's there's no problem to not liking somebody. But at the end of the day, I believe in his views. I think you have to be much more aggressive now. I think the game has changed a little bit, and I think the way that you have to react now, you can't just flex your muscles and send them the nasty letter. I think you have to be ready to act on that nasty letter now. I mean, that's the way I see it, and that's the way that I would prefer we go about things. I don't think you can no longer be passive to this and wait for trouble. I think you got to take the trouble before it shows up. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I'm hanging out with the Badger. And just a reminder, this week our second edition of the Bubba Report comes out. Make sure you get your copy. You'll be able to hook it up right on the internet, right at thebubbashow.org. So go check it out. Get that letter because everybody loved it last month, and I'm sure it's going to be better this month. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break.
He's so delicious.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with the Badger. So Badger, you know, we've had a lot of crazy things, a lot of scams in the world over the history, but you know, some of them are so easy to have figured out, and you wonder how the supposed smartest people in the room never can figure it out. And of course, I think the latest one obviously was last week. We saw the result from the flash crash. And finally, they have somebody who might have caused that flash crash. Take us through why it was easy, because you actually had an article published or an editorial in the USA Today or the Wall Street Journal regarding the Bernie Madoff situation, I believe. Did you not?
Yeah, it was actually in the USA Today. They were nice enough to contact me and ask me my opinion about it. And then I published an editorial on it. Well, let's look at what happened in the flash crash. Okay. And this is where I get completely nuts when I think about administrators and what they're doing. May 6, 2010, you know, we were trading the indexes that day, and we were short. We were having a really good day, and I was meeting with another trader in the afternoon out here in Vegas. So I took off our short positions in the mini Dow, and I went to the restaurant. So I sit down, and a guy goes to me, "Did you see what happened in the markets?" I said, "Oh, yeah, I know. They were selling off. Why?" He goes, "Well, because the Dow just went down 6% in less than 5 minutes, and then it took 20 minutes to recover." So we actually knew what to look at, and we said immediately, as soon as it happened, well, somebody had a fat finger. Somebody pushed the market around. You know, we knew what was going on. We knew what caused the flash crash. The underlying stocks were not going anywhere. You know, we've seen flash crashes. We've seen flash crashes in what? We saw it in the bonds. Remember when the guys tried to do the deal where they try to sell the $10 million worth of bonds with using the puts?
Yeah. We've seen it before. I mean, this is not new, and it should be relatively easy for the smartest guys in the room to understand right away.
Well, they got it. We said right away what happened. It was no question. Somebody had bullied the market. Somebody had just simply put in a gigantic order. And I believe they blamed it on an insurance company originally, saying that the insurance company had placed a very large order, and that very large order in the S&Ps triggered it. Well, it turned out it was a guy over in London that they've now identified. And he was a guy that was using what they call spoofing. Now, spoofing isn't something brand new, folks. This is something that's been around forever. When we were in the pits and we were market makers, we were the original high-frequency traders, because the market had to have another side of the trade. So just like high frequency traders now, and Goldman wanted to sell, we had to buy. Goldman wanted to buy, we had to sell, and then we had to figure out a way to get out of our mess because we got the edge. But spoofing happened there. We would call it racing in those days, but it's the same thing. Big order, and here's how it worked, and this is what this guy was doing. A big order comes into the market behind us. The broker shows us the order, and let's say it's Goldman. They want to sell 1,000 contracts and options, or they want to sell a million shares of stock. It doesn't matter. The big order hits. Now, one of the big locals decides that, okay, they're actually going to sell. So what I'm going to do is when the guy brings the order in, if he won't hit my bid, I'll start to race the market down. And what I do is I then start to take out all the bids. I make the bids go away. I have no intention of trying to take the market to zero. I simply want to make Goldman now sell me back the market. And that's called racing. There's risk in that. It may turn out that your Goldman, this broker from Goldman standing behind you, is selling. But the real thing they want to do is the broker's hiding in the weeds on the other side and he's really buying. And that's where you get hammered. So you do take a risk. Now, this is very much what this guy did. The guy's name is Navinder Singh Zaryo. And he's a big trader. You know, they're making this guy look like, I think Mark Cuban made a comment, like some guy in his underwear in London. Hey, this guy had 50 million bucks in his account. So if you're a trader, that's not exactly tiny. And what he would do is the same. He would issue large orders, which he had no intention of selling, but he wanted to spoof the market. He wanted to get them confused, and he wanted to bring in other orders behind him so that they would sell. He was already short. They would sell, and then he'd buy back from them. In 2008 and 2009, the CME actually contacted this guy and said that you can't do this. This is illegal. You're entering orders not in good faith. As an example, the difference between his spoofing and what we called racing is we were entering orders in good faith, meaning that if someone had a bid, we would sell it to him. He had no intention, so he put large orders around the market, which were actually never going to be executed, because if they got there, his computer, his software, his algorithm would cancel the trade. When the CME contacted him, basically, and this is an exact quote, he told him to kiss his ass, and that he wasn't going to do anything, and unless they were going to stop him, that he was going to continue to trade just what he was doing. That was 5 years. That was 2 years before the flash crash. So my question to you is, how effective were the regulators? You know, they're always worried about the retail trader, right? Everything's the retail trader, the retail trader, the retail trader. But they ignore something like this, in which the exchange had already posted to the guy that they were going to block his trades. And then he turned around and told him to kiss his behind, and he continued to do it. Now, you talk about ineffectual regulators. How can they do this stuff? And then they're surprised when it happens. We said the day that it happened, we knew exactly how it happened. It didn't take 5 years. It took us 30 seconds.
Well, you know, we talked about this in the last segment about North Korea. I mean, somebody else, you know what, Bernie Madoff, there's somebody on the other side of this trade still. They haven't found it yet, but you cannot do the things that they say they're going to do. And it was evident. And we got fined. Did you remember when we got fined for, we weren't spoofing. Remember using the automatic feature? Kept changing, canceling, and replacing?
Right, we weren't spoofing.
We were trying to get filled on something, but we had a price. And long story short, but the Merck fined guys for stuff like that because that is against the rules. But again, we weren't trying to spoof anything. But what you saw originally with high frequency traders, you saw these gigantic numbers come in, and that was a little bit on the cagey. But they took care of all that. But you and I both know one thing: it always comes back to what's the big story here? It always comes back to the money. So
back to the money, follow the money trail. But this wasn't any mystery, Bubba. I mean, We called this the second it happened. We said exactly what happened. We knew that somebody was, a term that we used is racing or front running. They use the term spoofing. This has been around forever. This guy didn't invent this. I mean, we did this in the market. As a big trader, I would, many times when I had a feeling the market was coming to me, I would be aggressive. I'd go ahead and try to push the market away from me so I could buy it back when the guy was going to bang me, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you were using your tools, but you were doing what you knew how to do. And look, there's all kinds of things, but what this was an easy call. I can't believe it took 5 years. And how much money do you think it took to find this guy? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, But it was, I agree with you. There's no possible way, okay? There is absolutely no possible way that anybody, why don't they, when stuff like this happens, why don't they go to big traders? I mean, we saw the thing, remember we were so outraged about what was the News Corporation where they were leaking the gold stuff?
Yep.
Okay, well, they finally stopped that. Gold doesn't do what it used to do. It was so obvious to us. Why didn't they just talk to people that actually are traders, people that have been involved in the markets for years? Hell, we had Bernie Madoff solved in 20 seconds. How could anybody believe? How crazy is this? How could anybody believe in their right mind that if you didn't make a primary market, you could trade in the secondary market and get the A?
Oh, that's easy. That's I do it all the time in my dreams. I mean, come on. Are you kidding me? This guy is trading in the... And folks, all you have to do is look at it this way, okay? If you ever watch the financial futures, the S&P, the Dow, the Russell, whatever trade, and you heard Bernie Madoff or a guy say, well, I was doing it at off hours, okay? You can see by the volume that it cannot be done. It's a mathematical impossibility to do what he did. And, of course, the funny thing is, and is that he would have never been caught if the market never stopped going up.
No, he would not have been caught. The guys, the whistleblowers that were going to the SEC, I forget the guy's name, who was a competitor of Bernie, said, no, it's possible to make 12% returns every year. He never questioned that. He's saying, yeah, and there's a lot of guys that make a lot more money than Bernie. It's the way he's doing it. It's impossible. It's like Bubba said, if there's a print, that print has got to show the other side of your trade. Bernie said, no, they were shadow trades that were taking place in pools when there wasn't a liquid market. But every single trader, every single person in the market would say, what's this guy talking about? There has to be the other side of the trade. Where is the other side of the trade? If they don't match, then there can be no trade. He was making fictitious trades with people that didn't exist.
They had those hidden footprints. You know, they have the invisible footprints that show up in the market once in a while, which was, we both know. Never happens. And again, these are things that you look at. You have to understand that basically it's a logical puzzle that you're solving. And knowing, you know, that the markets don't trade like that, that there's usually another story. And there's the story. But again, the Badger and I both want to know is why the hell did it take them 5 years to figure it out?
We had it figured out in 30 seconds.
We should have taped our conversations then. At least I think I have that one taped too. I think we had that on one of the Bubba clips we used to do, the little 5-minute clips we used to do over YouTube. So I think I have to look that one up. In fact, I can replay it on the air because I think we did call that one actually as well. But again, these are things, you know, one of the things we always love to do with you guys is to give you some ideas of what's going on just in general so you know to how to avoid some of the pitfalls. And that's also something that we've used and intend on using in the Bubba Report. You know, I have my own proprietary indexes there that we put things together. We've got everybody writing from a different perspective about how markets operate and what the function, what you should be looking for. And again, go to the bubbashow.org and check it out because you can start to get it right there. It's $99 a year for a minimum of 12 issues. But check it out. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horace. I'm with the Badger. We'll be right back after the break.
After 10,000 beers and 28 years.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with the Badger. And Badger, you know, every day Greece becomes a story. It's not a story, it's a story. It's been a story for years. And of course, I think you agree with me on this, that if there was no other issue, Angela Merkel would like to throw them out on her ass because they basically bring nothing to the table. But they do bring some other concerns that go along with what's going on. But give us the latest in Greece.
Well, you know, we talk about this. Greece has the economy the size of Indiana, and the Eurozone has the economy the size of the United States. So when you look at the problems, you know, why worry about Indiana? I mean, it's a big place. Don't get me wrong. If Indiana were leaving the United States economically, the United States is going to survive. Here's the problem right now. If you want some yield, hey, go get them, boys. You know, we had this situation back, in 2009-10, dealing with what we call the pigs. And by the pigs, we just mean Portugal, Italy, Greece, and Spain. It just so happens they match up and they come into those words. The real problem is this. Yield on Greek debt, actually 18 months ago, Bubba, yield before they elected this crackpot. Yield on Greek debt was lower than the yield, incidentally, on Spain or Italy. It was about with Portugal. But on their two-year bond, it was yielding like 1.5%. Right now, it's up to 29%. So, you know, if you want to get in there and you say, well, there's no yield in the world, guys, here's your chance. You want to go get them, get involved. What's going to happen most likely with Greece, like you said, if it was up to Angela Merkel, she'd just be throwing them out. She could care less. They bring nothing very much to the table. I think they finally agreed to raise the retirement age from what, 22 to 24, which is a joke, folks. But they're gonna agree that maybe somebody does have to work beyond 50 or 55 or whatever crazy thing they've had. So the real problem is that they're not going to be able to get anybody to lend them any more money. They have been borrowing their way out of debt. Do you remember the crisis in January?
Yeah, well, I mean, I do remember the crisis, and the problem is they don't have the printing press in the basement. They have to depend on borrowing somebody's printing press, and the printer is tired of printing for them.
And the printer is tired of printing for them, and that's the key here. This is what we talk about. I think yesterday we were talking about cryptocurrency and central bank issues. See, what happens here is you've got the European Central Bank. So even though Greece has a central bank, they can't print. It's up to them. Now, they're going to go to the IMF, which is, to me, is the most farcical place in the world. The IMF will then continue to help them to borrow their way out of debt while the austerity programs come in. But even it appears at this point, even that the IMF has had it with them. And what are they going to do? They're going to lend them $3 billion. What is the $3 billion going to do? Well, I mean, what difference does it make? If you have the same policies and you have everything that's going on, getting them bailed out by the IMF, and I think the drop-dead date on that deal is May 11th. So May 11th, what's going to happen is probably the Greek two-year bonds are going to go, as they say in the business, flat. Now, that is a business term for they're going to bust out. And, you know, the yields will go to whatever. They'll go to infinity. Somebody will buy, though, that debt. Somebody will take a shot. And that debt's yielding like 87%, they'll take a shot. They'll come in and take a shot that when they're restructuring, the haircut will be less than the amount of money they have invested. And this is something we talked about that happened in Argentina. All of these countries that run this socialist program of taking care of people from cradle to grave, it can't work, Bubba. It just can't work. You just see it just won't work. There's no way. If there's no production, if there is no productivity among the citizens, and all they keep doing is pandering to the entitlement class so that they can stay in power, the deals always go bust.
Of course they do. And that is the problem. I mean, listen, we got our own problems here with Social Security. I mean, you know, and we're not retiring at 22. I mean, no. So well, go ahead.
One of the differences in our in Social Security, they keep referring to it as an entitlement program.
Oh, no.
It's an insurance program. The people that collect Social Security paid that money to the government. They're not getting back their money. They're getting back a piece of their money. That's totally different than the people that are entitlement programs that don't pay any taxes. But why do they lump Social Security in with the idea of food stamps and entitlement where people are collecting that have never put a dollar into the system? It's not the same thing.
Not at all. No, not. Are you kidding? I mean, everybody who's on Social Security, they paid their way through.
Yes, they have. It's a bad deal. There's no question. I mean, it's been manipulated. It's been the wild card. It's just terrible. We're not arguing that. But what we're pointing out is the fact that when you get involved in a situation like Greece, they just don't want to work. I mean, let's call it like it is. They just don't have any interest in working. They just want to be Greek.
I got no interest in working either. I'm going to retire. But no, I mean, again, that's it's their entitlement. I mean, it would be as if everybody in the United States was able to retire at 40 and didn't have to put any money in, and then they'd get just paid to do nothing. And of course, that becomes the problem. So Social Security is not anywhere close to that. Social Security, everybody paid. The day you get a paycheck, your first paycheck, you pay Social Security, whether it be smaller or a lot, depending on how much your check is. And there's a maximum every year how much you pay. But at the end, you're subsidizing your own benefit that's supposed to be there when you're going to retire. Of course, that's another issue. But so back to Greece. So what is going to be the resolve here in your opinion? What do you think is going to really happen?
I think the socialist government that they elected is, I mean, you talk about people that have no touch with reality. I think that they will probably break. They'll break from where they are. And then what I think happens, if they do not break, I think Merkel just kicks them out and says, go ahead. And I don't believe that these guys understand what's going to happen if they go back to the drachma and that becomes their currency. It's going to be worthless. All the euros are going to be withdrawn from the banks. You're going to have a tremendous run on the banks in Greece next week, folks. Because anybody that has euros, they're going to get their euros out. They don't want the government to be able to convert those back into drachma because there's nothing backing them. You know, there's nothing. You talk about fiat. Who's going to accept them? What do you think is going to happen to the national treasury? First of all, it's going broke. Second of all, what about when they try to buy goods and services with foreign company from foreign countries with this new currency? Can you imagine the inflation rate that's going to happen with all this stuff?
It's going to be a disaster. But
it's going to be a disaster for the Greek citizens.
Right.
Not for the rest of the world. Not for the euro.
No.
For the Greek citizens.
Absolutely. The truth of the matter is it should have no effect on our market here. It never should, but of course we have to find news to make sure it does, but it shouldn't. I think the big concern is why they're still playing volleyball with Greece here, because they're still concerned that that Italy and Spain could also try to default.
Yeah, I think that's the real deal. So, I mean, we're talking about Greece, but I don't think we're talking about Greece at all. I agree with you. Now, if they're able to get away with it, then now we're talking a different thing. Italy and Spain are not Indiana. Italy and Spain are, well, they're not quite as big as California, but they're certainly Pennsylvania.
Well, but they're real producers. They bring real value. They do things. Yeah. And that would be, that's been my contention this whole time, is that's the bigger problem. And that's why Greece is kind of riding on the coattails of these two, because they have to play a hard line on letting them default, because if they let them default, then what's to stop them from letting somebody else default? And then it'd be a bigger problem, correct?
Well, that's the real big problem. Yeah, I mean, Greece itself is not a big problem. It's the rest of the pigs. If Portugal is not big either, but Italy and Spain, frankly, if they were to take the course of action and they decided, well, you know what, we're just going to get out of here too. There is where the wheels fall off, Bubba. What do you do when you have that kind of reduction? That would be crippling, and I really don't know that they're ready for that. And it may be the catalyst for the top of the markets. At some point, it's going to come. The whole house of cards has got to come down. That point could be.
Bubba's house of cards. I've been calling for this on national TV. I just called the house of cards. I didn't call the top yet. But it will come tumbling down at some point. This might be it. This might be the reason. But unfortunately for us, we have run out of time for today. Make sure you check out the new Bubba Report coming out this week. Go to thebubbashow.org and get signed up for it. $99 a year. It's yours. And we'll be writing about things just like what we're talking about here on air. Plus our other writers. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you tomorrow.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.